Hey friends, just wanted to drop a quick note. If you are a teacher or an administrator in the school and you're looking for a tool, a resource that can help better engage your students, that can get them more all in on the classroom experience and overall elevate the classroom and school experience for the students, then you need to take advantage of our Lead 'Em Up classroom. We officially have launched our Lead 'Em Up classroom so teachers and administrators can begin utilizing the same powerful curriculum that coaches have been utilizing since 2015, but now in the classroom. Available through a school-wide rollout or even a single teacher within a single classroom, whatever best suits your needs, take advantage of the Lead 'Em Up classroom and allow your students to experience the same power and growth that our student athletes have been experiencing for years. Take advantage of our Lead 'Em Up classroom. Make sure you bring this into your school. You don't want to go another school year without the Lead 'Em Up influence within your student body. You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A. Thank you for hanging with us. I am Adam alongside Kyle. Today, Kyle, we're talking about the dynamic of inconsistency with teams. And I really believe that in many cases is the ultimate difference maker. It's the pure reality is, can you be a team that can maintain high levels consistently? And when you look at individuals there in teams, there's always fluctuation. You've got your highs, you've got your lows, and it's totally understandable. Totally natural. But can you maintain this high level? But I also kind of want to take today's episode to kind of really unpack and get real. And this is going to be a very truth-oriented episode as we kind of speak some truth and may feel a little convicting. I don't want to make it feel like feel discouraging, but I do think we as coaches need to have realistic understanding of our team. And I believe when we've got a realistic understanding of what our team is capable of, what our players are capable of, and truly knowing kind of the true DNA of the team, I think it'll help us better position ourselves for adjustments, for work that we need to do, for intentionality through our conversations. Kyle, it is so often that I'll come across a team and I'll ask the question, it's one of my favorite questions, what is our on-field potential? What's our on-court potential? Because I just want to get a gauge, you know, and right. Working with the team, and as we enter into that relationship, I'm just like, hey, all right, perfect. Can't wait to be with you all this year. It's gonna be a great year. Hey, what's our potential? And very often, you know, we definitely have it in the room. We've got the potential. You know, if we can just bring it all together, I really could see us making a push, taking a shot at it, championship, things like that.
Yeah, make
and
a run.
You begin to look at their season and the season starts playing out and it just doesn't seem like it's coming together. And maybe during the first couple of weeks, there's these flashes, 5 minutes here, 10 minutes here where we control the game. A portion of the game where we completely outplayed a better opponent. And we begin to live in this mindset that those flashes are who we are. And I want to wrestle with that. Are we more in line in accordance to those flashes of high level, top-notch, high functioning? Even if it's only 15% of the time, or are we more
right
along the lines of the lower end of our inconsistencies? And I think we have to wrestle with that because I believe coaches think at times they see these flashes and say, that's what we're capable of, which is true. But it almost begins to shift their mindset saying that's what we can do. That's who we are. When I don't know if that's the case. And you can't necessarily approach your team in the sense that, like, we've got it figured out because we had a 10-minute moment of brilliance. I don't know if that is accurate. If that's, you know, they say winning is deceiving.
Absolutely can be.
Because it can tell you a story that isn't always accurate. Oh, we won. Oh, we won two in a row. But there's flaws. There's brokenness. It's not what you think. And we have to have honest, sober analysis of our team and really ask the question, are we closer to the flashes of brilliance or are we closer to the lower ends of our inconsistency?
Yeah, it's so challenging, you know, as coaches, because you have those games where you said, like, there's 15 minutes where you play great. Maybe you're going up against someone who's a really good opponent and you're with them for the whole first half, tie game at half. And then you get out in the second half and get blown out. Which team are we? Are we the one that's capable of playing with them the first half? Or are we the one that gets blown out? Are we the one that gets blown out early? And then we think that, okay, we have the potential because it was a relatively even game in the second half, but the reality is the other team, they knew it. They had it in the bag and they got all their backups in. They're running some of the basic stuff. You know, that's the thing that you have to juggle. So been on both sides of that as the coach, I think where you really have to land is going back to, like, every single day, not just game performance, but you have to look at, like, what is the performance level at practice? What have our practices been like throughout the week? What has it been like over the past 3 weeks? What are our habits? And really take an evaluation of all of it. I don't think it can be one thing, but it has to be something that's a total evaluation of player performance, their engagement, all of the factors that come into play.
You know, I think part of the reason why this is so important to wrestle with and to truly wrestle with, I think when you're a competitor, you and you're on the sidelines and you're in the action, when you see the flashes of brilliance, like, the competitive nature is like, that's what we're capable of. That's who we are. We have it in us. And it's difficult to wrestle with the reality, like, we're not that good. Like, we're not where we need to be. Like, that's a difficult thing to wrestle with. But I think it has to be wrestled with, because once again, it'll change how you approach it. You know, I'm in here in the DC area and our professional basketball team has not been a top tier team for a long time. The Washington Wizards, we've struggled. We've really struggled. I mean, I just read a little clip the other day, Evan Fournier, after the Olympics, you know, Washington reached out to him to try to bring him in because he did so well for his country. And he said, nah, I'm good. I'll stay over in Europe. I don't want to be part of a losing team. Literally said that, right? It's like, we have not been, I know, right? And, you know, we've not been a high performing team. And I'm going to tell you right now, I can recall specific years because I used to follow the team very closely. I was credentialed there from a media standpoint for a period of time. Followed the team very closely. That we would hold on to cores, like the core roster of our team. And we would hold on to rotations within our playing time because there'd be moments of flashes and periods of time of relative excellence that I believe it began to trick the front office into thinking that was more in line with who we were. Although you could zoom out, right, macro level, and look at it from the outside in and say, this core has won 29% of their games in the last 2 years. It has not been great. Don't be fooled by the winning of 10 out of 12 during a random streak towards the end of one year.
Yeah, you're going to
don't be fooled by that. And we would be screaming it off the rooftops as fans were like, and you could feel it. And you're like, oh, great, we're winning. I already know where this is going. They're going to think we've got the core intact, that we've got the group, if we just bring it together. That's the thing. If you were closer to the 10 out of 12, for example, you would see the bringing it together happen more frequently. If you're closer to the lower end of your inconsistency, that will give you the 29 win percent. All right. And you have to wrestle with that. But when you get in it, what do they say? It's hard to see the picture when you're inside the frame. When you're in it, it's hard to look at it and you believe something different. Here's a great case in point on this. You take some of these NFL players. One of the things that have been so intriguing of just like, not just NFL, all these players actually, that leave the sport and go into media or broadcasting or podcasting.
Seems like almost everybody now.
Yeah, you know, it absolutely seems like everyone. So they go from being an athlete, a competitor in the mix, to now being this outsider looking in. And look how quickly their tone changes. Right? They're in the mix and they're like, man, we can do it. Now I think we have a chance. Oh, I think this team has a chance. A year later, they go into the booth, they go into the podcasting circle. Now they're having to critique it from the outside looking in. You're looking at that same roster that a year or two prior you were part of, feeling like you had a fighting chance. Now you're in the critique side where you've got to analyze it, and you're looking at them like, they don't got no chance. They have no chance.
Yeah.
Right? No chance. And that's, you know, I remember listening to J.J. Redick one day, and J.J., he was shortly after he did a little stint with the Sixers, and I mean, I know when he was with the Sixers and Embiid and such, he believed they could make it. They can make a run. I hear him over there on like a First Take, and he's like, yeah, I just don't think they've got the closers. I just don't think they've got the core. You know, I just don't see it happening.
They don't have
it. I'm like, and they haven't been able to get over the hump. But what I'm trying to just illustrate here is like, man, when we get in it, we get fooled. And when we get out of it, we see it so differently. So can we train our brains to look at it from an outside lens, even when we're on an inside lens? Like, can you get to that place? That is important. And Kyle, frankly, it doesn't just apply for the encore performance. I think this also talks about the leadership side. You know, we talk a lot in Rule 2 of the Green Team about floaters. And we see kids and young people that show moments of maturity, moments of initiative, moments of, you know, confidence from a leadership standpoint where they're addressing the team and things like that. And we see these moments of green, but it is just surrounded by moments of floating into the gray. And we have to ask ourselves the question, even in leadership, are they more the green leader or are they more the gray? Yeah. I see both sides. Which one are they? And we want to give people the benefit of the doubt more often than not. We want to believe in people and we should, but we also have to have realistic understanding of what we're seeing.
Hello, this is Kevin Williams from Chick-fil-A and author of Irrational Kindness, and this is today's Leadership Nugget. I love how Truett Cathy, who founded Chick-fil-A, kept things simple. He would talk about the importance in the language we used with guest and team. He knew it was something we could all utilize regardless of having money, position, or power. It's free for all of us to use. One example is the idea of responding to a guest saying thank you with my pleasure. This change in language simply delivers a more grateful and unique way to appreciate others in the restaurant and workplace. It can change the way a team member and customers feel cared for, and I would say it even makes the fries and milkshakes taste better. Simple, kind wording opens the door for so many more conversations in these relationships. What wording can you use regularly to show a new level of kindness? Now, let's jump back to the episode.
Yeah, it always reminds me, you kind of talked about like that fool's lens, but fool's gold, right? You know, you're talking about it from the player's perspective. As coaches, we'd always remind players, and I'm sure a lot of our coaches say that, is, you know, you're looking across the field and you see someone that's open, you throw that cross field pass, gets intercepted. You thought it was there, but it wasn't the right lens that you're looking at. Same thing in basketball. You think that that open shot's there, or that pass going on a break is there, but you forgot about the person that's trailing. It's fool's gold that will catch you. The same thing is true here with our character and our leadership. That's where it's important to really be honest as a staff. And that's where everyone's feedback becomes important, to have those conversations and not just leave things to chance before practice or after practice, but really have those conversations of, what are you seeing? You know, maybe your perspective is a little bit different. What are you seeing on film? Are we taking too many plays off? Do we have just a few spurts here or there? That's where I think it has to start, is with the coaches being honest and looking at it through that lens of, are we who we think we are? But what is being supported in those little moments, those daily interactions? So I think when we take it from that approach on the day in and day out, we can start to have that. But looking at all those examples and kind of the things that you're talking about with the runs and the spurts, it's who are we consistently at? And we mentioned the floaters, right? Track it. One of the things we challenge our teams is to track that. Where are they at? You know, have the players evaluate. Where do they think they're at? You know, who are your senior leaders on the teams? Have them tell us, you know, talk to us as a staff, talk to us one-on-one as a coach. Where do you see the team day in and day out? What are your thoughts? What are your comments? And there you can start to get a little bit more of that holistic approach. But I think it's challenging to not just take things surface level. It's easy to fall into that with the time constraints, but that's the challenge for coaches, is to remove the emotion of it. Because once you're in it, like you referenced with the athletes, you think you always got a fighting chance. You think you've got that puncher's chance. And that you're the type of person that can get the group out of it. And then you take a step back and you look at it and say, and it's a little bit more challenging than we thought. So the first step is probably removing the ego part of it and then getting into the real analysis of it.
So I think one of the challenges here, Kyle, is I believe when you paint the picture that we are closer to the higher end of our consistency platform. Okay. I mean, it's kind of like a bell curve, you know, and up that bell curve goes, like, and once again, are you at the top of the bell curve? Is that your kind of average? Or are you kind of down towards one of the bottom ends? Okay.
It's like our intensity spectrum we referenced.
It is like our intensity spectrum, 100%. So here's my concern here. If we have had, I don't know, I'm just going to throw out some numbers, okay? We've had 150 minutes of game action, 150 minutes of regular season game action so far in the season. And during the course of that 150 minutes, we had 20 minutes, I would say, of high-level execution, dominance. Like, we were good for 20 of those minutes. I would say for 35 of those minutes, we were a mess. And then, you know, the other 90, 85, 95, whatever the remaining is, like, we were just kind of this average team. What happens is, if you begin to kind of tell the story, and I understand why you would tell this story, but if you begin to tell the story that we are that 20 minutes of the high level, like, that's what we have in us. Like, we are good, guys, girls. We are good. We have it in us. Look at what we did. You may be telling a story that will trick your players. On one end, you're doing it because you're trying to breathe confidence in them, which is fantastic. But you're also saying, hey, although we've been practicing, let's say at a 7, although there's been inconsistency in our practice and all the prep that we've been doing, you're basically saying we're still good.
Yeah.
And even though that's not the full story, that's what the players will hear. The players will hear, like, coach telling us we're good. I know we haven't put it all together, but we're good. So if we just keep doing what we're doing, it'll eventually come together. it'll eventually come together because coaches have shown us like, man, we are good. It just needs to come together. So let's just keep doing what we're doing. And then over time, hopefully it'll come together. Hopefully we'll be able to kind of put more streaks together like that 20 minutes and you'll see that 20 minutes more. No. It can't be that conversation. It is, hey, everyone, I hate to say it. We have these 20 minutes of brilliance and excellence. But what I see on this team is that is not who we are. That's an anomaly right now. That is not who we are. What we are currently, I hate to say it, we are this and that. We are those moments of just mediocrity or less. That's where the majority and the lion's share of our time is being demonstrated. We are that. If we are going to try to get to that level, we need to make some changes. There needs to be dramatic changes. The first story, hey, look, we have it in us, doesn't preach major changes. That preaches right, more of a stick with it. Right. Just like stick with it and keep pushing. But that may not get you there. Like you've got to recognize and say, listen, I see that. But right now, what we're doing is not producing that enough in a more consistent manner, which means we need to change what we're doing. Because what we're doing is not working. And if it was working, specific. We'd see that come about more frequently. So I think you have to be careful how you frame it. And this is why coaching is an art. I mean, it's not just like you can't just pick up a rule book of coaching and be like, all right, coaching 101, here you go, figure it out. Like you just read a book and you're good.
No, like for your team.
You got to like emotional intelligence and learn art of communication and learn how to push the right buttons because it's a balance. Because on one end, you do want to paint a picture of confidence that we can get there. And we're not trying to just be, you know, you don't want to just go in and just be a complete Debbie Downer all the time. You've got to find that balance. But you have to be real with the situation and say, okay, that's not getting the job done. That's not getting the job done. And I'm not going to, you know, keep painting the picture that like, oh, that's who we are. Oh, we have it in us. Yeah, we do, but not at the current approach we're taking. And you've got to figure that balance out. But I think it just goes back to this deep question that every coach needs to really wrestle with. And we need to wrestle with it with our players. Are we closer to the higher level of our performance? Or are we more representative of the lower end of our inconsistencies?
Yeah, challenging.
Wrestle with that deeply.
Yeah, wrestle with it, talk about it amongst the staff and really evaluate where you are. That has to be a priority for continued growth.
So, you know, for me, I think about it because it keeps positioning, you know, my conversations when I enter into lead them up sessions with teams because I, you know, stay in communication with the coach and I'm hearing these, how's it going? Oh, we're showing glimpses. I'm just like, okay. And I'm trying to really just land our training with the teams we work with, like in a place that meets them where they need to be met and pushes right. them where I want and believe they need to get to. And you have to wrestle with that. You have to wrestle with that significantly. And I do that all the time. I mean, I'm thinking about a team just like literally right in my head that coach is saying, oh, we got potential. We've got so much talent. And early part of the season, you're not seeing it happen. You're not seeing it come together. How long do you keep kind of leaning into that side of the story versus like, we are not where we need to be. We need to make some changes. We need to make changes to our approach.
That's the art of it.
We need to make changes to our practicing. We need to make changes drastically to our mindset. And you have to wrestle with that. So coaches, today, just a challenging episode, just in the sense of, you know, challenging you to kind of assess your team maybe through a slightly different lens and really trying to take a macro level zoomed out approach, which is needed. And it has to be pushed like this because once again, when you're in it, the feelings and the emotions and the confidence that you have as a competitor may deceive you. It may blind you of sorts to not being able to see the true dynamic of what's in front of you. So assess that, coach. Wrestle with that one today. Appreciate you taking some time to listen. On behalf of the entire Lead 'Em Up team, I am Adam. He is Kyle. Until next time, we are out.